Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going. Today we're just going to talk a little bit about, you know, Christmas is past and where Jesus should be, and he should be in the center. Nicole and I were with our pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, every year right before all our Christmas services. We just go take a three-day time of prayer and refreshing together and actually eating our brains out. Anybody can say amen to that? And so we walked in that great St. Louis Cathedral. Many of you have been there in New Orleans, Louisiana. And there was that picture that I said, I just got a video. Because number one, my pastor's like, my gosh, Jesus is not here. Of course, I'm from St. Louis, so we know 70% of our church in St. Louis is Catholic and Lutheran. And so we know Jesus is not in that place. The Catholics don't put him there till Christmas Eve. Our church puts him there 365 days a year. So give it up for Jesus. But remember back in the day when there was a nativity scene in every little town? Raise your hand. You know, you drive down the road and it was so neat. And in fact, here in Boca Raton, Florida, I just saw they have a beautiful nativity. Give it up for them, actually, the city standing behind. Come on, church. You ought to make a bid for Jesus. I love it. But my point is not cancel culture stuff necessarily. I'm not so much concerned about it, where it's at in the cities. I'm concerned about where Jesus is in your heart. If Jesus isn't at the center of your heart, then everything is competing for your time and attention. And so I brought this great, actually I brought one that was small and wasn't that effective, but there's a girl at our church that has 13 different nativities. How many of y'all think she is into the nativity scene? I mean, there's a Catholic in the pile somewhere in her family, trust me. And so I brought this up because Jesus is supposed to be at the center. The problem is oftentimes in our lives is we take things that represent what I brought here is things that represent the things of the world. Number one, it would be, you know, we've got wise men, but we also have the shepherds. And the shepherds sometimes come in and they bring in all the hard work. They were pulling an all-nighter the night that Jesus was coming to light in the manger. Number one, it says there was no room in the inn. It wasn't that he didn't have money for a hotel. There was just no room for him. I don't want to pause there and say that in your life, is there room for Jesus? I'm really busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. And after all, I've got a lot of things that are competing in my heart, and they're taking Jesus out of the center of our life. But the shepherds oftentimes, and I want to represent them to represent today, our jobs. Of course, we want a man with a job. Come on, single ladies, say amen to that. You got to bring home the bacon so we can fry it up in a pan. Come on. Got quiet in Florida, but I know Earth City's going buck wild right now. So we want work, but we don't want work to take the place of Jesus in our life. And so we spend 24 hours a day going to work, staying super busy, and we're preoccupied with a lot of things instead of making sure that the focal point of our life is on Jesus. So if we're not careful, what we do is we spend 24 hours a day thinking about work. We're always at work. And then our friendships also are all about work. Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. Let's just talk about family for a second. Mary and Joseph. Family is important. We always say family first, and that sounds good on paper, but not if Jesus isn't first, the family doesn't stay together. Can I get an amen? Yes. So I like the way family first sounds, and I understand where people are coming from. But again, if Jesus isn't at the center and it's all about the family, then it's like we're prioritizing the wrong thing. And that's why 50% of all marriages end in divorce. By the way, 100% of marriages, you got to get to church or they will have a high-ranking capabilities of being divorced because the enemy's coming in, having somebody Facebook you, having somebody DM you. And I say with your phones, keep it all open and allow your husband and wife, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. But some old boy from Facebook can be DMing your girl. And so I just look every once in a while and go, bye. Bob. So family is important, but family can't be first. If you get the family out ahead of God, then we can't see Jesus. Now we know Jesus is, we know the word is, and we sang it today at all campuses, Emmanuel means what? Anybody know? God with us. So he's with us, and we understand that, but the wisdom is saying, I'm actually very concerned to make sure that Jesus truly is at the center. We know Matthew 6:33, if you're a note taker, write this down. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. So we see, all right, the work, the education, if I spend all my time working, then it'll be added unto me. No, he says, seek first the kingdom and all the things will be added unto you. We should have a job and God can bless us with a good job. In fact, we have testimonies every week of people who had a job and God elevated them to be the president of the company. And then they went on oftentimes to own their own company. But their priority was Jesus was at the center. And some of you at all of our campuses today in St. Louis or even online, Jesus was at the center of your life at one time, and then your life got jacked up, and now you're kind of entertaining the fact, well, 2020 was like no Elf on the Shelf this year. It's like Chucky. Can I get an amen? So we need to switch systems and say, we're going to put Jesus back in charge of our life, and we're going to have 5 years of grace and favor, abundance, and breakthrough. Come on, somebody, because we're going to put Jesus back. Put him back. Now, this guy has the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the wise men. So sometimes we say, well, these wise men, they could be the focal point. We say, well, we want to get people in our lives that are really, really wise. And I think that's important. That's why small groups are important. That's why we encourage you to go to Growth Track and get involved. But don't put all of your wisdom, all of your eggs in the wisdom of the world. Because if you put all your eggs in the wisdom of the world, then you'll tend to believe what you see on CNN, Fox, I'm covering everybody, MSNBC, and all the news agency who pump you with fear. Because you're not listening to godly wisdom. Now you're saying what blocked me, what blocked Jesus from being the center of my life was these wise men, whether that be the CDC. By the way, I thought it was cool. Some doctors at the church sent me a thing last week that showed that the same number of people died last year as this year. No, there's not a rise in that. It's just quite interesting. Study it out on your own and find it. It's factual. Because a lot of things are fear-based. Because it sells. So the people, if you track the money, the people that want you watching fearful news are the same people that are selling Prozac and antidepressants and Viagra, Lunesta. Come on, go with me here. And these guys are selling it because they want the gold. But we need to say, we're not going to listen to the wise things, supposed wise things of the world. We're putting Jesus back at the center because he said, when long life he'll satisfy me, show me his salvation. And so there are 365 days in a year last time I checked. How many of y'all think that, even fact check that on me? How many of y'all have 365 days in a year? Come on, Earth City, raise your hands. That's that? 365, look around, Weldon, Ferguson. Anybody arguing with that? 365. So if we have 365 days in a year, we also have 365 scriptures in the Bible that say, fear not. I want you to shout with me loud and strong. Shout, fear not.
Fear not.
Shout it again. Why?
Fear not.
So fear, the Bible said, has torment. So when Jesus is at the center, but the news media is at the center, or the job, I'm worried about my job, that's at the center, it keeps us back in fear, and fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So your faith is contaminated when you're listening to the wrong voices. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying, put me back in your life. Put me back in your marriage. Put me back in your home. Put me back in your music. And for God's sakes, put me back in the church. Come on, somebody, give God praise today. Because Jesus is not a way. He is the way. There aren't many ways to God. Jesus is the only way. I demand a great clap on that one. This is a non-negotiable. If you don't agree with that, you're at the wrong church. So we don't just sing the songs. We actually go, does our checkbook reflect it? Does our time reflect it? Well, I don't want to go to church. I'm afraid of Corona. Well, it's weird because I ran into you at Target, and there was more people at Target than at the church. And I went to St. Louis at Snooks the other day, and it was kind of funny. If you follow me on Instagram, if you don't, well, you might go to hell for, you know, lack of information. But I went into Snooks, and no offense against Snooks, of course, but I went in there and all the carts, it had been raining in St. Louis, and all the carts were still wet, which tells me that they did not spray it down with bleach. And there was stuff there, so I cleaned it. Then I was around a bunch of people, and there was the parking lot was packed at Snooks, right? And so then I went to do the self-checkout because, after all, you know, they want to kind of have you do that if possible because then they don't have to employ more people, which is fine. And so I went over, and I started touching the screen, and nobody was there to wipe it down. Nobody was there to clean it up. And the stuff, do you want to pay with cash or coupons? I wanted to push somewhere else, but I had to push my finger at the same spot that everybody else did. And so I'm touching it and touching it. Touching and looking over at a guy over there, and he's doing this, and then touching it again. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's giving himself his own COVID test, and then now he's touching it. And then I got to thinking about all the people from the church who put all their stock in the media, did not put their stock in Jesus. And of course, we walk in wisdom. We've bleached this whole church down. That the whole nothing's the same. Our sheets are stained, and our clothes are bleached because we really do care. Now, but we're not putting our trust in bleach. We're not putting it in a mask. We're putting it in the Son of the living God who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. So I say, rise up out of fear today and take your life back. This is one Christmas that you don't want to lose. Give God praise in the house today. So again, we're listening to the wrong voices. Over in the book of Luke, it's quite beautiful, the story of Jesus. We see here in Luke chapter 1, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee in Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was, everybody know that name? Joseph. Good, even kids are yelling it. In the house of David, and the virgin's name was, anybody know that name?
Mary.
And the angel came unto her and said, thou art highly favored. I don't want to pause there a minute. Highly favored. God chose this woman, Mary. There wasn't necessarily something, you know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the only person in the world that could do this. There was just favor upon her life. And I want to encourage you today at all campuses that there's supernatural favor on your life to bless you beyond what is happening into the world. But again, Jesus has to be at the center. Verse 29 said, and when she saw him, she was troubled at that saying, and she cast off in her mind what manner of salutation this is. And then the angel said, listen here, church. The angel said unto her, what? Fear not. Shout it, all classes. What? Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Notice the first thing the angel does when he sees that God's dropping something in Mary's heart is he says, we're going to combat this with fear because I can see fear on your face. Anybody ever seen fear on people's face? Anybody ever had that fear when you heard, woo, a cop was pulling you over? I got pulled over in Florida a few days ago, and a cop pulled me over, and somebody was doing 10 miles an hour, and I think they were drunk, and they were just going so slow. I thought it was dangerous, so I passed them in a no-passing zone and kind of zipped up to like 40 or 50 per second and went right back. And as soon as I did it, there was a cop pulled me over, and he comes up, and he shines his light, and they're meaning to call Laura in the car, and he goes, oh, it's Pastor David from Faith Church. I said, oh, man. He said, oh, man, I'm so sorry for pulling you over. I know you're about the Lord's work. I'm like, no, I was just going home to kiss my wife, but whatever. But he had favor on my life. I'm here to tell you today that God has favor upon your life. And even when you do something wrong and you're thinking that God is judging you, I bet this is because I've been a bad person. I know you're not a bad person because you came to church today. You're watching online today. There's something within you saying, listen, I know that Jesus is the answer, but all this stuff got in the way and I'm going to actually fulfill my God-given destiny and future. Give me an amen on that because God has favored me. Everybody shout, fear not. Shout it again, all campuses. Why? Fear not. Verse 31, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. But I want to draw your attention to that word conceive. Everybody shout it with me. Why?
Conceive.
You have to conceive it before you can receive it. Everything starts out in your mind first. You think about this church here in Florida. I had to conceive it in my mind and in my heart, because God wanted me to do it. Our city, when I remember when God gave us that building off of the highway there, as you're in those seating capacity today, is amazing. 177,000 people drive by today. If you look there at Sunset Hills and you got a 37-acre, $37 million campus, all, you know, our city, Ferguson, all those things were first conceived in my mind. Not because Nicole and I were pregnant, but because we said we're going to put Jesus first. We're going to help people. We're going to eradicate fear, and we're going to say, be it unto me, God. And I want to encourage everybody at all campuses today to stop looking at your past to reference what God is going to do in your future. God doesn't check with your past. He looks back at what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is made perfect in your will today. So I'm saying, let's put Jesus back in our home. Let's put Jesus back in our mind. Let's put Jesus back in our marriage. Put him back. Everybody shout, put him back. Shout it again, put him back. You got to put him back. Verse 35, for the sake of time only, we're going to run down to verse 35. And it said, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. She was asking this question. She said, how can I, little Mary said, how can I, not knowing a man, that word know there means genosko, intimately acquainted with, or we know, you know, sexual relations. I don't know. How's that going to happen? He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost, by the way, will make you look smart. The Holy Ghost will give you concepts, ideas, creative favors, supernatural opportunity, things that you would have never thought of with your education of wise men. All of a sudden now, the Holy Ghost come up upon you and overshadowing you. The Holy Spirit actually put the seed of God on the inside of the wombed man. A woman is a wombed man, and now she carries this baby 9 months. Now, you got to think that God was just the Trinity living in heaven. Everything's fine. He comes down the staircase of heaven, puts on this little baby suit, but he's so God that he actually created the woman who is now nursing him. He's milking from manifestation that came from him. And now he lives this spotless, sin-free life for 33 years. And all he's asking of us is to say, I don't have to work for Jesus. I don't have to, no matter what I do, I can't overshadow my pain or my sin or the things that I've done wrong. All I have to do is put Jesus at the center. So let's talk about a couple ways you can do that. For the Holy Ghost to come upon you, you need to be around the Holy Ghost. In other words, today I took a shower. Can I get an amen on that? And part of the benefit of taking a shower was I got wet. But the shower didn't come to me. I had to go to the shower. And then when I was in the shower, it was just coming over me, and the shower's decent size. I had to get under the spout where the glory comes out. So people say, well, I don't think you have to go to church to be saved. And I couldn't agree more. But I have found that there's a highly, it's more likely for me to get wet when I'm in the shower, and it's more likely for me to behave when I go to church. So for me to keep Jesus at the center, for our kids to keep Jesus at the center, when suicide is at an epidemic, when people are having total road rage and losing their mind because they've been captivated by fear, listening to the wrong voices. But there is still a king, and he is the King of Kings. He is bigger than COVID. He is bigger than disease. Give me an amen on that. And the Holy Ghost wants to overshadow you, but you need to be under the spigot where it comes out. Can I get an amen? Let's talk about a couple other things that compete for you. This is why these animals are here. It's so beautiful. I love animals, and we've got animals. But sometimes just little things can be like, I can't go. I can't go because of my animals. In fact, Travis Green is a good friend of ours, Grammy-nominated guy. And this last week, they flew in from North Carolina, spent some time here in Florida, and they came to our house and just watched Nicole with these dogs while they're at the house.
Nicole, while she's eating dinner, she wants to hold her friend boy. And this one cries because he's jealous. Travis. I'm going to get you a little dog. I'll find you a little dog.
Come on, give it up for those cute dogs. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all love dogs? Raise your hand. How many of you hate cats? Raise your hand. I want to see that. Okay, no. My point is not to belittle that. I'm just saying that it's cute. Those dogs are there. But the baby's there. But I'm noticing that I have no attention. She doesn't scratch my back anymore. Come on, there's a bald-headed, toothless man that she fell in love with. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah to that. Grandparents. Actually, my pastor told me that having grandkids are your reward for not killing your kids. But again, not saying anything bad about pets. Not saying anything bad about people, but anything that blocks you, I can't because I got a dog. I can't because I got a kid. I can't because I've got a job. The reason why you got the dog, the reason why you got the kid, everything good comes from God. And so anything, I know it's not popular today, but anything that keeps Jesus out of the center is actually a competing force. We know this over, I want to show you the scripture so you don't think I'm making up. The Bible says in Exodus 20, put it on the screens at Weldon, Ferguson, everywhere. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. None. So if the job is a god, if fear is a god, the Bible says that some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So we have to retain God in every area of our life, and then we have to fight to prioritize to keep God at the center of our life. So God said, it's a non-negotiable. If this thing that I bless you with keeps you from blessing me, then I regret giving it to you. I have a pastor friend of mine. He pastors a church in Branson, Missouri called Faith Life Church, a great church, Keith Moore, and another one in Sarasota, Florida. They kind of are called like Nicole and I to two states. And it's not that there's not great churches. It's just God puts people on assignment at different places to actually raise up a different kind of church. Just so you know, Faith Church is a different kind of church. It's not a church of religiosity. It's not a church of chosen, frozen. It is a church that actually is in wartime right now, a church that's actually pushing against culture and keeping the Antichrist spirit at bay. We will not succumb to the political correctness of the world today. We're going to keep Jesus at the center. And so God, if you're here, that's what you're called to do. If you're serving, that's what you're helping us do. But Keith, years and years ago, he was very, very poor. I grew up poor. Raise your hand if you grew up poor. At Christmas time, it was like, hey, here's your picture. Christmas time, you got hand-me-downs. Anybody familiar with hand-me-downs? Your cousin that was bigger than you sent you clothes, but you were excited to get them, and they were new to you, so you were stoked about it, right? And that's the way he grew up. And God had blessed him with a Corvette. He was out there waxing on it and shining on it, and before he got the car, he spent a lot of time with Jesus. And then God gave him the gold. What messes people up is the gold, the girls, and the glory. And so now he's shining the car, and he said he heard the Lord speak to him one day, and he said, Keith, I regret giving you this car. Because before you got the car, you spent time with me. But now all you ever do is rub on the car. Again, God's not against the blessing, because the blessor will add those blessings to you. But if now you prioritize, I got to work 7 days a week because look at my business, it's growing. You got to recalibrate yourself and realize, Exodus 20, put it on the screen one more time, verse 3, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Let's all read it like the Catholics. Come on.
You shall have no other gods before me.
One more time. Shout it again. What?
You
might be saying, well, that's ridiculous. Pastor, of course I have no other gods before him. Well, does your checkbook reflect that? Does your time reflect that? Does your playlist on Spotify reflect that? Are you spending way more times on Netflix and watching things? And again, I'm not against these things. The reason I'm familiar with these terms is I watch Nicole's Life. Come on, somebody ought to help me out. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Just let me know. But we got to be careful because we have other gods that we set up to. Colossians 2, let's go there, verse 9. We're almost done. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, Jesus. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. We're complete in him. Again, not against education. I'm all for it. Nicole has so many degrees, I call her Dr. Fahrenheit. But you can't put your trust in education. Well, you're complete in him. I'll be happy when I get married. That's when I'll be complete. I'll be happy when I get that job. I'll be happy when COVID's over. I'll be happy when I get the vaccine. I'll be happy when I... No. You got to be happy now and keep Jesus at the center and realize that you're complete in him. You have power in him. You have joy in him. You have peace in him. Give God praise today. Everything good comes from God. In other words, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Shout that with me. If it's good, it's God. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Actually, one translation says, life to the full till it overflows. Not a beat down life, not a depressed life, but a life full of victory, a life full of favor, a life full of opportunity. People oftentimes love to sit and throw little digs against Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Jesus stood up for you. Stand up for the church when you're in the world system and they've clogged everything up, and at your work they've clogged everything up, and they're making friends. Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. Oh, you believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, I give my heart and my life to Jesus, and you should too. A lot of times they're just perk testing you to see if you really are smoking what you're rolling. Can I get an amen? Do you really, are you really picking up what you're putting down? And I want Faith Church to be full of people that say we're full of grace and love and acceptance for everybody, but we're not trying to actually take Jesus out of the center and say, we wouldn't want to offend anybody, so let's talk about a higher power. We wouldn't want to offend anybody, so let's pray to God. I'm telling you, say his name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the soon coming King, our Messiah, the one who was the spotless Lamb of God who came to earth to live, then die for us to live in complete victory. Come on, give him praise today. Come on, more than that. You can make more noise than that. I want you to stand up at all campuses today. I see you there at all the campuses in St. Louis online. I want you to share on Facebook. I want you to download the app. And then I also want you to, by sharing on Facebook and so on, you're causing this to reach out and touch more people for Jesus. This last Sunday, when we played the video where I'm on the nice list, actually. Remember that? We all brought up our cards, and our pastoral team got around all your cards last week. We put them on a table, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cards. And what I found interesting is about one out of every eight of those cards were people that were sexually abused by a family member, even their dad. As we read those, and we cried, and I know you're there today at these campuses and you still have that past pain. We prayed for you in the name of Jesus that God would restore you and make you whole. I do want to say that it doesn't happen in a day. To put all these pieces back at the right place, it's taken me a little bit of time. But if you'll give this church, and in particular this word, maybe you went to church before, but it wasn't this church. Was the church that pointed the finger at you this way instead of this way? But if you give me a year to help you put Jesus back to the center, there'll be days where you know, it's Friday night and I'm lonely and I took him out of the center. And, well, Saturday night so close to Sunday morning, I put him back in the center. But if you'll give me a year, starting in 2021, you'll say for the next 12 months, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you won't recognize yourself. God wants to become Lord in everything that you do. If you'll put him as the center of your life, it'll change everything.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast. And here's the reasons why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on. And I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.